The Mac Observer's Mac Geek Gab number 6 for July 12th, 2005, coming to you straight from Macworld Expo Boston. Greetings, folks. I'm Dave Hamilton from the Mac Observer. I'm here with John Braun, and we are actually here together in the same room for the first time.
Together,
yeah. We're here at Macworld Expo in Boston, and we're actually coming to you from our hotel room here at the Copley Square Hotel, which is a couple of blocks from the Expo Center.
Very nice.
Yeah, it's acceptable. So I'm hoping the sound works out okay. We're not in our normal setup, so we'll record this in... And hopefully it works out for everybody involved. So, enjoying the show so far, John?
Absolutely. It's great to come back to Boston. I like New York, but I like... Actually, one thing I don't like about Boston. Finding where you are.
Yeah.
I guess there are maps, but and there's street signs. But they
there's
don't
street
always
signs?
Make sense. Well, the ones that are left. I hear there's a big problem with them disappearing.
Yeah.
Students and whatnot.
Well, you know, that's the way it goes.
But
right?
Very nice, very historic, very clean.
Yes, very clean.
Mm-hmm.
How'd you get here? You took the train, right? That's what you said the other night.
Yeah, and you know, yeah, so I did the Amtrak thing again. You know, I went to Baltimore, did the Amtrak also. It's, you know, a lot quicker getting up to Boston. And, of course, what happens, you know, once I take the train, which was, you know, other than the added security due to world events.
Yes, of course.
All that stuff there, you know, they... didn't get in anybody's way. Man, it was good to see him there. But as I get to the hotel and check in, and they got free wireless here, which is nice.
Indeed.
Every hotel should have that. I get an email saying, hey, we just started the Acela service
today. All right, there you go.
So next trip up to Boston. And actually, I think they're just doing the New York to D.C. run.
I should have taken the train. I drove in.
You should have.
Yeah, you know, where I take the train from, it would have brought me to North Station. I would have had to take the T, but yeah. After all the traffic and the roads that stopped and no directions on how to get anywhere, it was, had I not been familiar with Boston, I don't know if I'd even be here by now.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we're here. like we said, the hotel is good. We're here on the third floor of the Copley Square, so, you know, don't throw anything outside too loud because, you know. We need to sleep, so.
Yeah.
Well, you know. The first day of the expo was today, as I'm sure you know. The expo was kicked off with a speech by one of Mac Observer's columnists, Andy Iannocco. He, of course, writes for many folks, and we're proud to have him here. He gave what I thought was a fantastic speech. Very funny, kind of interspersed with Andy's non sequitur related bits and pieces. But I thought he did a fantastic job for a keynote speech, and he set the right tone for the expo.
So. Yeah, he didn't have a reality distortion field.
Not too much, but he did have a cool coat that he wore about halfway through when he started predicting the future. The
iMac coat.
Yeah, somebody had made Andy a coat out of posters, and a coat, I should say, it's more like what he called it was a kimono. It was a very, you know, thin sort of long coat made out of the fabric from iMac posters. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Very cool. Very, very cool.
He did have a custom-built ukulele that was...
Custom-built ukulele that we're not sure actually has a USB port on it, but we'll trust him and say that it does and that it's a MIDI controller for GarageBand.
He did show one.
He did show one in a picture. That's right, yeah.
And he did have a one more thing.
And he did have one more thing. Yeah, he definitely paid homage to his predecessor who has done keynotes in the past and did one more thing.
We can't call it. It's a feature presentation.
I'm sorry.
It's not a keynote. You can't say
no,
that.
I think they call it a keynote.
No, they call it. He did. But I think, no, feature presentation.
Feature presentation. Yeah. But see, they call it keynotes on the website here. If you hit keynotes, you're brought to this page. But you're right. Yes, feature presentation.
He didn't have a reality distortion field.
No.
But he was very funny and very entertaining.
And John and I then judged the Mac Brainiac Challenge today, which was, I thought, was the best one yet. And it had nothing to do with John and I judging. Though we did play a key role, assuming, of course, that it wasn't us that screwed up the scoring to begin with. But anyway, it might have been. The truth is out there, folks. You figure it out. The team with all of the Mac publishing folks, the smart folders with Jason Snell, Jim Dalrymple, Rob Griffiths, and Rick LePage. But Rick LePage wasn't there, and I realize now that I should have gotten the name of the fella from O'Reilly, I believe it was from O'Reilly, that stepped in for Rick LePage at the last minute. They won at the tiebreaker, and they deserved to win. Their tiebreaker question was they had to come up with a list of – both teams had to come up with a list of 10 songs that would describe the history of Apple. And you know, they did a fantastic job with it. Indescribable.
You got to come here, folks.
You got to come. But since you're not here, we're here. So you hit the show floor today, right, John?
Absolutely. Had some meetings and also just wandered the floor. Keep your eyes on the site. A lot of stuff is going to be going in the system tonight and going up tomorrow. I do a photo tour, which
I should preface this by saying we are doing this at night. It is Tuesday night, July 12th. It's about 10:30 Eastern Time, of course, here in Boston. So when John says tomorrow, he's talking about Wednesday. So
tomorrow. Just to,
yeah. Wednesday. Well, you know, who knows when they're going to actually listen to this thing, right?
Yeah. So a lot of today was meetings. There's going to be detailed stuff up on the site. You're really going to see the articles start to flow. But I had a couple of notable things.
All right. Lay it on me.
Well, actually, I'm not going to lay it. Well, the one thing I got to say, though, is it just amazes me. Remember last time we were in the huge, huge convention center?
Yes, the brand new at the time, right? The second show there, right? The Democratic Convention. Or no, the Democratic Convention wasn't even there.
Yeah, the DNC was
Fleet Center.
Fleet Center.
Yeah.
I forgot, did they call us the BCEC?
The BCEC. Massive place, beautiful place. Bad location currently.
It took 15 minutes to get from like the press area to the food area.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, what I marveled at though is now it's in the Heinz Convention Center.
Yeah, right here in the Prudential Mall, Back Bay, great location.
It's more compact, but they still managed to place the press area
yes.
as far away as possible from everything else.
That's right. I think it's more of a tradition, John. I think they're going out of their way.
They torture us.
Well. Yeah, no. That's right. But they've been very nice to us, actually. But you can tell that somebody said, well, we can't just put the press room right across from the exhibits. Mm. They did that in San Francisco, and I think they saw us getting a little too spoiled. And so
we were too happy.
We were too...
I see us kind of... All right. So, the two things, again, check the site, see our coverage. But two things that stuck out in the meetings I had today. One was Seiko, Seiko Instruments, which makes some very nice label printers. And they just introduced, within the last couple of weeks, a brand new line. But here's the kicker, is that they're offering Mac software with them again, which they haven't done for quite
a
while.
Time. Yeah.
So it's great to see Seiko back in. They have them, nice, three different price points, three different feature sets. They have the Mac software, which integrates with, from what they told me, the address book. You can actually download the software, check the article on the site. So that was really neat. The first thing that came up is that they have them in three different colors.
Okay.
For the different models.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, can you change the skins? And he's like, you know how many people ask me that? And I'm like, you're at a Mac show.
There you go.
You're talking design.
Yeah.
So that was really neat. And the other one, and then I'll hand it off to you, Dave. But one that really caught my eye.
Yeah.
Etch-a-Mac. I was just walking along, and I saw a whole bunch of engraved iPods, which was pretty interesting. Though, of course, you can get your iPods engraved, I think, for free now.
When you buy it, but not after the fact.
Right.
Right.
Right. So these guys do post, but then the other thing that really caught my eye was they had PowerBooks etched.
Really?
Like the cover of a PowerBook.
These guys are
etch masters.
Oh, wow.
So we'll have more info on it. It's from what they told me, their first Macworld, and they're pretty new.
Wow. Do you know their URL off the top of your head, or am I?
No, that's going to be in the...
Okay, in the
show
notes.
It'll be on the show notes or on the site.
Yeah, okay.
But that really caught my eye, because I did a double take. I'm like, wait, it's not a decal. Oh, my gosh, they etched it.
Wow.
So that's really neat. So there are a few things that were notable.
Cool.
How about you?
I actually had some time to spend with the folks at Parliant today, who make a piece of software called Phone Valet. Mm-hmm. And essentially it's for being an answering machine. And a lot of folks have been using it to record phone interviews over the years. Uh-huh. Yeah. And as it turns out, they're using it to record phone interviews for podcasts. Right. Uh-huh. Yeah. And they sort of stumbled into this market. But, there's not a whole lot of people out there making software for the Mac-based podcasters. In fact, there's really no one. I mean, everybody's got these products that sort of dance around the concept, and they're all beginning to add support or at least add documentation for how to make podcasts with their product. We, like I said, we use it. I think I've said it before. We use a product called Audio Hijack Pro, and it's not perfect. It's great, very flexible. But if you're not a geek, it can be very difficult. Well, like I said, I promise we will go into this in a future show. We will make a show all about how we do our podcast, but that's not for today. This Phone Valet, what they've done is they've partnered not just by adding some podcasting related features to their software, but they've added, and I should say what their software does is it comes with a little dongle, and it's about $200, and it comes with a little dongle that plugs into the phone line, and that and it plugs when it plugs into a USB port on your Mac, and you're good to go. It from there the software takes over, records everything that happens on the phone conversation. You don't have to do a thing, and you're ready to go. However, if you're talking to somebody who's on a cell phone or maybe in a room with a noisy fan, and I just noticed our air conditioner in the hotel room kicked on, so I'm hoping that we don't have this problem, but they're bundling it with a piece of software called SoundSoap, it's a light version of SoundSoap. SoundSoap is kind of a high-end audio cleanup utility, but this is sort of a downgraded version of it that works perfectly with their product to help clean up, do some post-production, but easy, quick post-production on the audio, clean it up, get it ready for posting. And I think they're also bundling it with a version of Peak, which is Bias Software's audio mastering and cleanup utility, if you will. So very cool stuff. If for nothing else, it's great to see software companies out there saying, hey, wait a minute, there's people that want to create podcasts. This doesn't need to just be for pros or us, and I don't really consider us pros, but, you know, for anyone out there that wants to do this and doesn't want to be stuck trying to figure out how to use GarageBand to make a podcast. So very cool. I think it's great. And we're going to hear more about them. We're going to talk to them.
That's interesting. It seems like they're taking, because I know on the PC side, they do have these phone interface boards. I think is DigiLogic one of them? I think I seem to remember that, but I think you're talking a separate world because these are typically multi-line and they're not $200 like you said.
Right. And I think once they bundle it with all this other stuff, I don't believe that they've made it a formal release on this, but I think it's going to be $250 bundled with all this software, which is killer because this software is worth hundreds of bucks just by itself. So getting these features and the features you need from these different software packages bundled with Phone Valet, killer. So
excellent.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Anything else?
I think I'm good. I mean, you know, we're here in geek heaven, right? I mean, this is Macworld.
Our cult, Mac enthusiasts are here.
Yeah.
And that's great.
Yeah.
A lot of familiar faces. That's the scary part.
I did notice, the show floor, I mean, Boston is smaller than San Francisco. And I noticed today that the show floor, usually I see, and I'm going to use this term, and it's going to sound elitist, but I don't know of a better term to use. The insiders, the folks that, the folks that we know in the industry, the folks, not just the site readers, but the folks that make all the applications and, you know, from different companies and the other folks that there are, believe it or not, there are other websites out there other than Mac Observer who cover Mac news.
There are.
Yeah. And some of the people
I've heard about
the people that write for them are fantastic people.
Actually,
I would say most of them. I always look forward to coming to Macworld because I get to see my friends, but I did notice when I was walking the show floor today that I kept bumping into my friends more than I was bumping into people I didn't know. So the show has definitely got a smaller feel than San Francisco, but I kind of like it.
Yeah,
so.
And I gotta thank Peter for the kind words that he said listening to our first podcast.
That's right.
Thank you, Peter.
Thank you, Peter. Yeah, I hope you're out there listening. Turning in your bed or whatever it is. Anyway, I think that's as good a sign as any to wrap this one up.
Sounds good.
Yeah, we are here at Macworld Expo. We may do another podcast later this week. We are John and Dave from the Mac Observer, and coming to you from Boston, Macworld Expo. MacObserver.com/podcast is the URL to check out. We may come to you again later this week if we can. Otherwise, we'll talk to you Sunday night. Thanks, folks.